Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Humble here. At your service. If you have a question or a comment, here's how you do it. Ask Jim at jbsba.com. Just send me an email. Ask Jim at jbsba.com. And that's also the website, jbsba.com, where you can subscribe to my newsletter, where you can do lots of other things, including find out all about our guest this half hour, our good friend, Mr. Steve Martin. Steve is the prophet expert in our brain trust, and he's the author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization, and that's what he's been doing, is helping us develop cost-effective and a profitable organization. He's our good friend, Steve Martin. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always, and because, you know, even though you and I both know that cash is king, and profit is the queen of business, but cash is king, one of the best ways to create cash flow is profits.
Absolutely.
Now you can't grow yourself, and you can't fund all your growth typically just with profits. But over a lifetime of working in your business, those accumulated profits can really add up to a nice return on your efforts over the years, can it?
Absolutely. And of course, if you want to seek money from the capital markets, you want to take a loan from your local bank or someone else, one of the first things they're going to look at is your P&L. What's your profit doing?
How are you doing? Do you have a good business model? The first thing they'll ask you for is a cash flow statement, because they want to make sure you can make the payment.
That's exactly right, because you can be highly profitable and have no cash.
Yeah, exactly. But the next thing is, do you have a profit? Are you profitable? And that tells them whether you are, what kind of a business person you are, doesn't it, Steve?
It certainly does, not only what kind of a business you are and how you run it, but, of course, what stage you are in business development.
Right, absolutely. One of the things we've been doing, folks, is talking about some key steps that Steve has identified in his book that we can look at. A lot of different things. One of the things Steve agrees with and I agree on is that if you manage the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves.
And so that's what's necessary.
Steve helps us get down and dirty with some of these small things. But Steve, our topic today is not really that small like some of the others were that we've talked about, some of the little nook and cranny type of profit opportunities. This one is pretty big, isn't it?
It's a huge topic. We talk about using technology to improve your business mm-hmm. and profitability. And, well, people are going to say, well, I do that already. But the real challenge is to challenge yourself to look for the newest technology, to see what's really being proven, what works, what are your peers using, what's the best practice that you can use in terms of technology, where do you have room to improve, and then doing it, making the changes.
You know, Steve, after 911, I started talking to my audience about what I consider to be, and I actually did say this, folks, I said over the next 3 years, at least 3 years. I said it might be five, but at least 3 years, you need to button down, batten down the hatches and tighten up everything, and you need to focus on survival for the next 3 years. And one of the things that I said, here's one of the tips that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to find opportunities to use technology first and then hire people to serve that technology rather than the other way around.
Yes, good advice.
Well, and that was back 3 years ago, and I do believe that was good advice, because the people who survived, Steve, through the last 3 years, those tough years of 01, 02, and 03, they had to really focus on squeezing a profit out of some, in some cases, not very much.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's been challenging, and of course, that's a fact of our economy. It's going to go through cycles for one reason or another. You're going to go from bust to boom to best, mm-hmm. and back again, about 7 to 10 years. So whatever business you're in, you really have to take a look at doing things well when you're doing well and when things aren't so great.
Well, and the thing about technology, folks, is the beautiful part about it is that right now we have powerful technology available to us at bite-sized increments and in prices that we can afford. And we're going to talk about this some more with our good friend Steve Martin right after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Steve Martin's here, too, because we're having a great visit with him, talking about technology, how technology can help you with your profitability of your business. And let me remind you, though, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Hamilton Beasley's going to join us. We're going to talk about some of the biggest mistakes that small business owners make. And then Rob Green is with the National Restaurant Association. He's going to talk to us about the politics of the overtime law that the president has passed and that there's a little bit of controversy right now. We're going to get him to explain that to us, because everybody who has employees needs to pay attention to this overtime rule, because it's changing. And so anyway, we're going to talk about that some more with Rob Green in the next hour. Steve Martin, when 20 years ago, as I've said many times on the show, 20 years ago, if a company like GM or Coca-Cola or whoever, if they wanted to have some really snazzy, highly productive software that really gave them a competitive edge, they'd call in somebody like IBM or somebody like that to develop for them a piece of proprietary technology that maybe they'd pay $20 million for. Who knows what it could be? And they had a real competitive edge. That was 20 years ago. In the 21st century, small business owners can buy the same technology, only better, for a small business for $89.
That's exactly right, Jim.
And there are thousands of examples like that. So the beautiful thing, the good news is we got all this technology out there that can help us. But it still costs money, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It costs money to purchase, and it can be a few hundred or even a few tens, or it can be tens of thousands of dollars. But the key is, if you look at it carefully, you should be able to find the right package that'll give you the return on investment that you're looking for.
But we have to be careful, don't we? Because, you know, there is such a thing as shelfware. You know what shelfware is, don't you, Steve?
I have some myself.
I have a little shelfware myself. And, you know, I remember I have some stuff, and I look at it, Steve, and I say, I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking?
Yeah, I bought that package, and it's got a half an inch of dust on it now.
Right, and I thought it was going to be so cool when I bought it. And the truth is, I just didn't make a good purchase decision. And that's
so important. How do you make a good purchase decision? I've got some thoughts on that, Jim.
Okay.
Because that is tough. You talk about thousands, literally tens of thousands of software packages out there that someone can look at for their business. My recommendation is that you talk to your peers. Whatever business you're in, you talk to everybody that you can that's in that same business, or even something that's closely related. Find out what they're doing, find out what they're thinking, what they're looking for, what their problems are, what their answers are, what are they doing. Go to the trade shows, or at least get the publications from the trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
Read the magazines that are in your field. And you know what? It's one of the few times I'll strongly recommend you look at the advertisers,
mm-hmm.
and see what they're promoting. Now, you don't necessarily want to be the first to adopt a new package, but see what's out there and has some legs on it. And doing that detective work, you should be able to find out what the best technology is for your business.
You know, Steve, this is an example of when being part of an industry trade group is a good idea.
Absolutely.
For your industry, if you're in the dry cleaning business or the tire business or the metal manufacturing business, whatever it is you do, shoestrings, whatever, there's an industry trade group that supports that industry, and the price of joining it is probably nominal, and the benefits, you were talking about the peers that you could talk to. You know, if you're not a member of a trade group, you might not know that many peers in your industry, but if you're a member of a trade group, you'll know a lot of them.
Absolutely.
And there's always somebody who's one generation ahead of you and who somebody helped them one day, and they're going to be willing to help you.
Exactly. And you can pick up where they left off and learn from their mistakes.
I don't know how many times, Steve, I've had them say, well, whatever you do, don't buy that one because I did and I wasted my money. This is the new one. And so you can actually, not make the same mistakes they made.
Exactly. And, you can be a small business in a community of 4,000 people, and yet you can access a global community when you join an association.
Absolutely.
So that's really what it's all about. You've really got to keep your ear to the ground and network with folks that know what's going on and are doing things. And that'll give you the insights to make the better choices in terms of what technology that you can use.
But part of making a decision to buy technology, Steve, has got to include the learning curve and what it's going to take, what's going to cost you in terms of your time and your people's time to not only learn how to use the technology, the power of that technology, but also the maintenance of it.
That's a good point. And the larger, the more complex, or the more pervasive the technology, like a big business management or accounting software system, the bigger the problems. And people, even the salespeople, I'll hate to say it, tend to discount the factors that you've talked about. And I've seen failures in installations because they didn't account for the dollar amount and the time that would be required for training and maintenance.
And the brain power, that's where my shelfware has fallen apart, Steve, is I got into it and I said, wait a minute, I'm not smart enough to figure this out. I need some help. And then I didn't plan on the help having to get the help, and I don't know who to call on maybe. And so that's one of the things. Technology is great, folks. It can really make a difference in whether you're successful or not, but you have to take into consideration all the different factors when you buy and install technology. Quick break, right back with Steve Martin after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Steve Martin is our guest. Steve's an old friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Creative Approaches for Developing a Cost-Effective Organization. Folks, if you want to learn how to make sure you squeeze every penny of profit out of every dollar of sales possible, Steve Martin is the guy to help you with that. Steve, tell us how we can find your book and how we can find you online.
You can find us at profitpro.us. That's profitpro.us. It's a big website. It has lots of free material and access to the book, which is a tremendous resource for any business.
Absolutely. And you can buy the book there. They can buy the book through e-commerce on your site there?
Absolutely, Jim.
Okay.
Using the technology.
Right. There you go. Be sure to check that out, folks. Profitpro.us. Go there and find out. Folks, bookmark his website and go find out. Steve's got a lot of stuff there, as he said, that you won't have to pay for, just to kind of get an idea for how he works and some of the things that he has to say, and I promise you, you'll benefit from it. So check that out at profitpro.us. Okay, Steve, we're talking about using technology and to improve the profitability of our businesses. Give us an example of how technology could be used to directly impact profitability.
Let's talk about a simple but a ubiquitous piece of technology. It's been around for just about 20 years now, and that's barcoding. If you're not using barcoding in any business that handles multiple pieces of material, you may have an opportunity for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
If you barcode parts, pieces that are in process, things that you're selling, you know where they are at any point in time, so you can manage your loss.
Mm-hmm.
You can enhance your revenue by managing your inventory, so you know, because you know what's going out the door or what's passing through a particular point in the process in any time. So that also allows you to manage your expenses in terms of purchasing and making sure your inventory is where it ought to be.
Right.
So one simple thing like barcode technology, which is very affordable these days, you can get into it for just a few thousand dollars.
It's not that exotic anymore, is it?
No, it's really not. That allows you to manage.
The other thing, Steve, is when you take inventory, it's much faster and much more accurate.
And accuracy is the key.
That's right.
You've got to assume at least a 3% error rate on any manually entered data.
Yeah, and that's conservative, I think.
That's the minimum.
Yeah.
So you think about all the issues in terms of trying to manage things when you've got an error rate like that, it can become mind-boggling. You can really have some major losses in an organization.
Yeah.
So that's a simple example,
Jim. All right. What's another one?
One of the things I just read about, and it's coming down the pike, it's really kind of interesting. It's called predictive fast food management. They have sensors which determine what kind of cars are waiting in lines for the drive-ups for
fast food. Is this like profiling?
They profile the vehicle. They know if a minivan's coming through that they've got a good chance that they're going to sell
some Happy Meals.
Exactly. And this has been in test for a couple of years.
When I get in line, they say, here's a double whopper waiting to happen.
You know, it's crazy, but they've been testing this for a couple of years now. They've dropped the food waste by 50%.
Unbelievable.
They've dropped the service time by 20 to 40 seconds, which is huge. Think about that. When you're waiting in line and there are 10 people ahead of you, that's a lot of time.
You know, Steve, 40 years ago almost, not quite that long, but almost that long, I worked for Hardee's when I was in high school. And we used to do profiling. When we'd decide how many hamburgers to run at a time, we'd look out the window, and however many cars that were coming into the parking lot, we'd say, run 12, run 18.
Isn't that smart?
So we were profiling years ago. It wasn't very high-tech, though, Steve. It was all with eyeballs.
But the concept is there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is the training is for people to run the kitchens is down to 2 weeks from 3 months.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, this is still leading-edge kind of technology,
and of course,
but it's an example.
Of course, this is for that particular industry, but the point you're making is this kind of technology, this kind of efficiencies are available in many industries.
Exactly.
And that's what we got to focus on, folks. And the good news, Steve, in the 21st century, it's affordable for small business. That's great, isn't it?
Yep, exactly. And, of course, the other key is that things are changing so fast, you can't assume that what you used 6 months ago is still the best you can do.
Absolutely. Well said, Steve Martin. Thank you for being here. Good job today. I feel more profitable already.
That's great, Jim.
Steve Martin, ladies and gentlemen, profitpro.us. Don't forget to check out his website. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.